Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. I'm going to read verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You know, before I start, let's pray first. Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you, Father, for your word. I pray and thank you, Lord, also for all our missionaries and all those that have come to speak and to hear. We pray you bless us all. And Lord, we pray you be here in the midst. And Father, we pray that above all, you receive all the honor and all the glory. Only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the first thing I want to just tell you is a little bit about our church. If you were here last night, you heard an explanation by Michael, which was extremely good. But let me add my two little cents. We still remain a small church. But you know, I'm so thankful that we're still standing.
Amen.
And we have had so many people have come through our doors. And some have remained for a while. Some for several meetings. Some only come one time. But it doesn't really matter. The thing is that they came and they sat and they heard the gospel preached.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing, that they're being preached at. And some have come and they've stayed longer and they've had to move for one reason or another. But the people that we have are extremely faithful. And anybody that comes to visit, they make them feel at home. That's one thing that I've noticed. We have very loving Christians. And, of course, we all bring in visitors once in a while, either from street preaching or from door knocking or just from invitations. And everybody has contributed to bring somebody in. And they come and they stay. And of course, the one who brings in the most, and you all know that, is Albert Silva. He works in the police department with the crisis response team, so he gets to meet people all day long. He talks to everybody. Everybody knows him. You go to any restaurant, he knows all the cooks. He knows all the waitresses and everybody else. They all call him by first name. But not too long ago, a detective showed up that he had invited months before that. Somebody from the SAPD, he came and he really enjoyed it. He liked it a lot. And during the week, he called Albert and says, I'm coming back this Sunday and I'm bringing in a lot of people. Sure enough, when he came the following week, he had brought policemen from the sheriff's department, ladies from the police department from there, and dispatchers, and of course they all brought their families. And the next thing, you know, we had 19 people that came in from that one visit, from that one individual. And then on the other side of the church, we had several guys that also brought their families, and they had been gang members, or they were still gang members. We don't know. The thing is that in our church, we don't discriminate. You know, the Bible tells you that that you ought to go and beat on the bushes and go through the hedges and highways and compel them to come in. And you know, when it was all said and done, the Bible said that they were good and they were bad. But we don't discriminate against nobody. We don't mind sharing donuts with anybody else. The thing is that when they come, the only thing I tell them, all the 40 calibers go right here. And all the AK-47s on this site. But we don't discriminate against no one that comes over. We invite people and we want to fill the chairs. We don't care about their background or what they used to do. The Lord will save anyone. And He saved me. And He saved the Apostle Paul, who said he was the chief of all sinners. So anybody, if they would just repent and come to Him, and that's our objective, is to reach the multitudes. And if it's just a few at a time, that's fine. We'll continue to do it. But let me get to the text. This is about a watchman. And you find this word several times in the Old Testament. You don't find it in the New. And of course, in the Old Testament, you can understand it. They used to have watchmen on the walls. And of course, even today, we still have watchmen in our military. In different places, you need to have watchmen. I remember when I joined the army, the first thing they did is to put me to be a watchman. You don't like that, but that's what we all have to do. You learn real quickly that you have to stay awake, and especially when you get into the battlefields, it's extremely important that the watchman do his job. And what you've got here is that God has given great responsibilities to the watchmen. They have to do their duty. And of course, the way the Lord put it here is extremely amazing to me, how He gave the responsibilities. And He says that if the watchman gives the warning and the people don't take heed, in other words, they don't want to get up when the alarm is sounded. They don't want to take heed to the trumpet. They could care less about anybody ringing bells. They decide they are just going to sleep. And if they get killed, and the Bible tells us that the watchman's, his hands are clean. Because he sounded the alarm. But on the other hand, he does say also, if the watchman sees the sword coming, he sees the enemy. And he's able to look from afar. He's able to hear the tanks. He's able to hear the horses. He knows there's trouble coming. And he doesn't sound the alarm. Then, and if they get killed, because he didn't sound the alarm, then their blood is in his hands. And this is just extremely correct, the way God placed it. And He tells Ezekiel that He is a watchman for the house of Israel. He also told Isaiah, this is the only two He told, that they were watchmen for the house of Israel. But I just want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus has also made all His church to be watchmen.
Amen.
This was just a picture, and of course it did take place, and even today it takes place. But as a church, as Christians, we have also been entrusted to sound the alarm.
Amen.
We're supposed to also to warn the public. We're supposed to go out and go tell them. And you know, as far as a watchman, as far as my watch, what I see, I'm looking at this world and I see a great storm coming.
Yes,
you know, there was a movie a long time ago that came out and it was called A Thief in the Night. And then the next movie that came out was the sequel. He said, the distant thunder. And I hear that thunder now. I hear it very close. You can hear the lightning beginning to crack. And I just see our walls have been broken down. In the Old Testament, when you break the walls down, there's no more defense. I see our walls are broken down. There's people coming in. And even though they do fool you by telling you, look, if just little kids, in the meantime, you got a lot of the bad stuff coming in also. And, of course, you compare it with what the Lord had said. The Apostle Paul had written to us and told us in the last days there will be perilous times. And this is what I see. As a watchman, I see very perilous times. Isaiah was told, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?
Yeah.
In other words, he's asking them, give us a report, watchman.
Yeah,
right. What are you seeing? What can you hear? Do you hear horses? Do you hear people coming in? Do you hear any drums? What's going on? In other words, he wanted a report. And this is why we're here also tonight, this week, is to hear a report.
Amen.
Watchman, what of the night?
Amen.
And when we come here, we get to hear what's really going on. We see what's happening in the churches. We see what's happening in Mexico. We'll hear on that later. We get to see also what's happening in Poland. all the work that's being done. And it's extremely important that we do get a report. Our missionaries, or actually our watchmen.
Amen.
Those who go out on the street and go out and preach and do the same work, they're also watchmen. But the thing is that we all have done this kind of duty. I remember a long time ago when I was a young policeman, I used to patrol the streets of San Antonio. And many times at night, when I was working the dog watch shift at 3, 3.30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, I would turn off my lights. I would turn off and go real slowly. I would open up my windows. And just as I would be patrolling the streets, just to see what do I hear. I was watching for gunshots, listening for windows breaking, listening for dogs barking, anything that would lead me to believe that something's happening somewhere. And of course, many times we would gather together, the guys that I used to work with, and we would talk after we'd get out from work, like at 11 o'clock at night when we were working that shift. And instead of going home, we wanted to go and talk and just let out some steam as to what we had been going through. And it was always very good because they need to talk and get things out of their system so they don't take it home. I used to go many times and tell my wife, this is what I went through. I got into a fight. This is what happened to me. I almost got killed. And I realized I was scaring her. So then I said, you know what, I need to keep my mouth shut. But when we would get together, we would talk about these things, and man, we had some fun. And I remember one of the stories, one policeman was saying, yeah, I was so tired one night because he says, I work my 40 hours a week here, and I work a part-time job, and I go to college, and that's what I was doing too. Most of us work too much. And at night time when you're working dog watch and at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're very sleepy, especially if you haven't slept in maybe 18, 19, 20 hours. And this policeman said, yeah, and I went to this warehouse and I parked my car. And I wanted to listen, but I was also so tired. So he says, he got on the hood of the police car. And then he laid his back on the windshield. And he fell asleep. And then in the morning, somebody woke him up. He said, sir, can you please move your car so we can park here? The people had come to work. Man, let me tell you, we laughed about that. That was so funny to us. But it wouldn't have been funny if somebody had gotten killed. You see, and the thing is that it's not funny when the watchman goes to sleep. And he's supposed to be watching. I read a report one time in Vietnam. Over 200 Marines were killed one night, and they were wondering what happened to the guard. And nobody knows. He got killed too. The thing is, you don't know whether he fell asleep or whether they just took him out and then decided and wiped out the whole company. But that was a very sad matter. And the thing is, it's happened, I'm sure, many times, more than we even will ever know. But the thing is also with Christians, people are dying. Amen. And going to hell. And only because the watchman was asleep.
Amen.
We're not telling them about the Lord.
Amen.
And that is really sad. That's not a laughing matter.
Amen.
And we go through so much of that. And of course, it's so important that that we be the ones to sound the alarm. We need to always stand on guard. I'd like to read to you what happened in Judges chapter 2. On verse 10, he says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You know, another thing that I'm seeing is that this world is coming to be just like that generation. They have forgotten about the Lord. Now, I go door to door, and I know a lot of you do too, or you preach in the streets. And I know our missionaries in Mexico, they do the same thing, and in Poland. But what I'm finding out here in San Antonio is hardly anybody knows anything about the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't know about salvation. And it's house after house after house,
right,
week after week. As the years go by, it's hard to find somebody that knows about the Lord. And of course, I also substitute, not this summer, but I substituted more than half of last year. And I was in the high schools. I was in the middle school and the elementary schools. And I would come and tell my wife, I said, this generation is really lost. And that's because of what I would hear, what they would say. They no care about nothing. And of course, I'm not going to repeat anything that I heard or what I saw. But I was very discouraged, especially in the high school and also in the middle schools. And the little kids, there's chance for them. But the older ones, I see it as a lost generation. I see it as a generation like in the times of Judges, where they had forgotten everything about the Lord. One day I went to a middle school, to a class, and in the blackboard they had some things about Noah. And I started thinking, oh man, I can preach out of this. And of course, once we got going and later on I found out what was going on, I began to ask some questions. It was really a bait. I was trying to see if I'd preach something. And sure enough, as soon as the opportunity came, I began to speak and I mentioned the Lord Jesus. And immediately three kids got up and they said, no, you can't preach, sir. That's not allowed in here. That's against church and state. You can't do those things. And I said, and of course I defended myself. I said, I'm just teaching what the board says. But let me tell you, you can't sleep in anything. They've been trained not to hear anything that has to do with the Lord. Prayer has been taken off. I see so many kids when they're supposed to pledge allegiance. They don't even get up. They don't even stand up. They don't even raise their hand. They don't do anything. And nobody tells them nothing. I feel like slapping somebody.
Amen.
But I even used the word shut up. And the kids told me, sir, that's a cuss word. I said, no, that just means keep your mouth shut, you know. And I mean, it don't matter how I say it, I'm used to saying it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around guys and in difficult situations. Many times you have to use that word. And so I might not be substituting anymore. It's just hard for me to control my tongue. But you know, the thing is that what I find is just like Ezekiel found in the valley of those dry bones. And what I see is nothing but bones, nothing but dead men. And of course, that's what lost people are. They're half dead.
Amen.
The Bible talks about the Good Samaritan that was walking, and of course, there was one guy that was down and out, and the Bible says he was half dead. And then here comes the religious guy. He passed him up. And then here comes the other one, from the government, passed him up. And then finally the Good Samaritan, which was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, he picked him up and took care of him. And I heard a long time ago somebody criticizing half dead. What do you mean half dead? There's no such thing as half dead. Yes, there is. There is such a thing as half dead. The thing is that you can be, you're dead spiritually, and you're dead in sins and trespasses, and that's what the Bible says, but you're alive physically.
Right.
You're walking around, but you're still dead as far as the Lord's concerned,
right. Yes,
and that's why the Bible uses the word half dead.
Amen.
And when Ezekiel saw all those bones, the Lord asked him, he says, son of man, can these bones live? And immediately his response was, Lord, thou knowest.
That's right.
So then the Lord went and told him, he said, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's what they need to hear.
Amen.
Even today, even when we come across people, you need to preach God's word.
Amen.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Bible tells us, preach the word in season and out of season.
Amen.
That's the only thing that will save them. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
But it is just so hard because we are living in very perilous times, very dark times. And that's what I see now as a Christian who goes out on the streets. I've been going on the streets, door knocking almost after I got saved. I got saved 32 years ago. And 6 months later, I started hitting the streets. I haven't stopped. I plan on keep on going until the Lord takes me home. That's been my heart's desire. And I want to continue. So far, I've been doing it. Let me just tell you what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13. This is the story. This is a continuation of what he was saying in Matthew 24 when they had asked him, when the apostle said, Lord, tell us about the end times. What will be the signs of thy coming? And he began to speak, and of course, the first thing that Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you.
That's right.
Because there's so many deceivers.
Right.
There's so many antichrist. And he went on and told them so many things, but he culminated with this, and Mark is the one who wrote it. Let me read it to you on Mark chapter 13, verses 34. He says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
Amen.
You see, he doesn't call you watchmen. He called them in the Old Testament watchmen. But he commands all of us to be watchful.
That's right.
In other words, we ought not to be asleep.
Amen.
And what he's telling us here, of course, the Son of Man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you notice that he gave authority to his servants. You got the authority to preach the gospel. You got the command to go and preach it.
Amen.
He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of this church who does that.
Amen.
But the thing is, there's always somebody who maybe you haven't committed your life to the Lord. You haven't asked Him to save your soul. And you're still wondering. So the question to you is, are you a servant? In other words, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because when you accept Him and you become part of the family of God, you become a servant. That's a very high rank. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that David was a servant of God. All the apostles called themselves servants of God. This is a very high title. But the thing is, are you a good and faithful servant? Because there's many people that will be told that they were not very faithful servants. And of course, what we've got here, let me read to you on verse 35 again. He says, watch ye therefore. We're supposed to be watching. In other words, we're like the watchmen on the walls. We're supposed to give the alarm.
Yes.
We're supposed to warn people.
Amen.
People are on the way to hell.
Amen.
And it's not right that we just keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
Okay,
right.
I'm saved. I'm secured. I'm going to heaven. But I don't want to bother nobody. You shouldn't be that way.
Amen.
That's why he says, watch ye therefore.
Amen.
But notice also verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all.
That's right.
So he's not just telling the watchmen, our missionaries. He's not just telling the pastors.
That's right.
And we all ought to be watchmen.
Amen.
We all ought to always be watching for the flock. We need to be watching as pastors that for wolves in sheep's clothing. But we ought to also be watching for the flock in all things. But the thing is, it's not only the pastor's job.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says here, and the Lord says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all. So the Lord puts the burden on all of us. And then what does He tell you? Watch. What does watch means? It means that you need to warn people. You need to tell them.
Amen.
This world is getting real bad. And you don't have to be a prophet of old to be able to tell those things.
Right.
All you have to do is open up your eyes and your ears, and you know what's happened.
That's right.
I don't have to explain none of that. You know what's going on. But we need to be very alert and serve the Lord until He comes.
Amen.
Because that's what He tells us.
Amen.
He tells us in another place. I didn't mark my the verse. But he was talking about, Zechariah 14. That's when he comes and he puts his feet at the Mount of Olives. That's when it'll be at the end of the tribulation. And that's when we stop watching. That's when everything is said and done. So in other words, we're supposed to watch. We're supposed to tell. We're supposed to preach until the Lord comes and everything is done.
Amen.
There's no quitting.
Amen.
We might retire from our job, but we don't retire from the things of God.
Amen.
We need to continue all the time. And even if you're just in a wheelchair, tell somebody else next to you. Tell them that Jesus saves.
Amen.
He's the only hope of this world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.